Today on the show, I saw the Jonas Brothers live and it was awesome. Jerry Seinfeld has the weirdest new movie coming out. Plus, five mildly interesting things that happened since we last spoke is back by popular demand. All that and more on 20th Century Boy, the only podcast that's not wearing any underwear right now. To 20th Century Boy, my name is Mike Jonas, and this is the inside of my mind. Oh, welcome back. Took a week off last week, had a bit of a menti bee, had a bit of a crisis. I don't know what happened there, but I appreciate all the messages in being like, hey, Mike, keep doing the podcast. That, I am going to keep doing it. I don't know what happened. No, I will talk very briefly, like, about the week off, because I think a bunch of you listened to that little short thing I put out last week. And I think I've had a few breakthroughs, which I won't speak much about here, but basically I've had a few breakthroughs about the pod and about my content. And I think the main thing that I realize is, like, I want the podcast, this podcast, 20th Century Boy, by me, Radio Mike, by the way, welcome to the podcast, I want it to be just like, I've been treating it like it has, you guys don't even need to know. Basically, this podcast always changes based on where I'm at, where content is at, how I feel and everything like that. It's going to keep changing, but it seems like from the thing I put out last week, that little 5-minute kind of disclaimer, most of you were pretty much like, oh, like, you know, I'll just listen to you talk shit about whatever, which was comforting to hear. So that's basically what the pod is going to be. Don't stress. Nothing's changing. I just needed a week off and it put a lot into perspective for me. But I think it's more about me having, like, being, like, I think I saw it as, like, the podcast is my main thing, which is fine. But, like, now I think just my content is my main thing. And that's here on this podcast, but it's also, like, a bunch of different content on YouTube, TikTok, and et cetera. And, like, seeing Radio Mike as, like, a wider content creator that's not just this podcast, and this podcast can be a little bit more casual and a little bit more conversational and stuff like that. I mean, that's what it is in my mind at the moment. So I hope you guys will stick around. Of course, it's 20th Century Boy. The conversations you wish you were having about the stuff that no one else cares about. That's the tagline of the show. You can contribute anytime. Just Google Radio Mike. I'll come up. DM me on Insta, Twitter, whatever. Tweet about the show, X about the show, Threads about the show, share it in your stories, whatever. I don't care. Each week I lose more interest in being like, oh, do tweet about the show. Like, just do it. I don't have to tell you. You guys know. But thanks for being back. It was a good opportunity to take a week off. And I think because I've taken a week off, and again, this is a segment that is only returning because of popular demand. The segment is called Five Mildly Interesting Things That Happened Since We Last Spoke. And it originally started when I went away to Europe and, like, you didn't hear from me for a few weeks. So I came back and was like, here's a five mildly interesting things that have happened. And I thought it would be a one-off, but people really enjoyed it. So I think this is the fourth or fifth time that we're doing this segment. So get ready to be indulged and informed about mildly interesting things going on in my life when we do this. Five mildly interesting things that have happened since we last spoke. Ooh, love that. So the first thing is, this is probably the funniest thing of the five mildly interesting things. And I think they decline in funny, but, like, they stay the same in interest. So stay tuned. Basically, my mum thought, this is not a joke, by the way, this is real life. My mum thought that the first cafe in the world was opened in Melbourne, Australia, in 1993. So a little bit of an explainer behind this. So I'm at my parents' place and we're just, you know, talking shit as we do. And I can't even remember how we got onto it, but Mum was like, oh, I was watching The Chase Australia, the quiz show today, and I heard the first coffee shop in the world was opened in Melbourne in 1993. And me and my dad both just like looked at each other and were like, and I said to my mum, I know, I can tell you right now for a fact that is not true. That definitely didn't, is not true. You definitely missed it. She's like, that's just what I heard. That's what they said on the Chaser. The first coffee shop in the world was opened in Melbourne, 1993. That's just what I heard. I was like, Mum, that cannot be true. Like, and then my dad was like, you know, my mum's name's Antonelli. He's like, Aunt, you grew up in what? You grew up in the 70s and the 80s? What, you're telling me you couldn't go to Lygon Street and get a coffee before 1993? Mum was like, well, you could, but, and I was like, yeah, I don't think that's true. And I was like, Mum, I genuinely think there would have been coffee shops when Jesus Christ was alive. Like that, like the idea that like Australia as a country is like a 200-year-old country. And the idea that 30 years ago, Melbourne opened the first cafe in the world is simply like a ludicrous proposition to make. But she just stood by it. It's like, no, nope, that's what I heard. That's what I heard on the Chase Australia. That's what I heard. That was the question. Anyway, we just all were like, me and Dad were just like, it's not, that is not what it was. I'm telling you, like, there is no way. Anyway, ended up doing some sleuthing, right? I was walking past a McCafe, as in a McDonald's cafe, and I noticed on the thing it said McCafe, established 1993. Did a quick Google search. I'm pretty sure what she must have heard and got confused is the first McCafe was opened in Melbourne in 1993, not the first cafe, right? The first McCafe was opened in Melbourne, first cafe not opened in Melbourne. So I think that's what it must have been. And I sent it to Mum and she was like, oh yeah, it must have been that. But it was a massive argument in the house for a while where we were trying to convince her that she was definitely wrong. Next one. This one's a little bit, this is just a random, as I said, these are mildly interesting things. How do I put this? Someone in my family, just for privacy, is having like, it needs to have like injections every day for something. And my dad was like, oh, do you want to, same day as the coffee debacle, by the way. Do you want to try the injection? Like with nothing in it, but just, I'll just inject it into you. And it's like the kind of injection you get into your like belly, right? And I was like, oh yeah, I guess. And I was like, does it hurt? No, it doesn't hurt at all. And I was just so scared. My dad kept like coming towards me. I was like, oh no. But then like my dad just stabbed me with this little needle. Could not feel a thing. And I think it's amazing that technology has come that far. Okay. It was incredible. I was very scared to get stabbed. Didn't realize I had that fear. But it was all over in a second and I didn't feel a thing. Next thing. If you are listening to this, you are probably one of the first person in the world to know this about me because I haven't told anyone this and it's been happening for a while, okay? And it's something I'm willing to share it. I never thought I would say this. I am becoming a sit down to wee kind of guy. I know. How scandalous is that? Haven't told anyone, right? I'm sitting down to wee now. I'm weeing sitting down, particularly, predominantly in the mornings and in the evenings. Like maybe during the day I'll do a stand-up wee, but if I'm at home, working from home, I will sit down to wee. Why? Honestly, and I never thought I'd say this, I think it's more convenient. I think it is more convenient because, fellas, you know, if you miss the aim, you're splashing all over the toilet seat, you're splashing everywhere, you're cleaning up, it adds an extra couple minutes to your wheeze. Sit down, you're guaranteeing it gets in the bowl. Really convenient, much more convenient than staying standing. So, I'm a sit down to wee guy. Holler if you're with me, okay? Number four. This one's pretty quick. I've decided I'm going to sell a bunch of my old video games on Facebook Marketplace. So I guess this is more of a PSA than anything else. If you're looking for any old PlayStation 2, Wii, Nintendo DS, Nintendo 3DS, or even PS3 or PS4 games, hit me up with what you want. I've probably got it. And finally, I love love that sting. It's so jazzy. This kind of leans into another thing we do on the show, so maybe we pivot into this.
Get your brain ready, because it's Mike's big year of learning stuff.
Yeah, 2024 is my big year of learning stuff. It started well with me learning a few magic tricks, card tricks, and coin tricks, but I realize I haven't learned anything since. Until now, I still want to learn how to use a barbecue, and I also need to learn how to tie a tie. Can you believe, went through 7 years of private school, never learned how to tie a tie. Everyone's like, "What? How did you do it?" I just never undid the tie. I got my dad to do it once when I started school in grade five at a private school that wore ties, and then I never undid it for 7 years. Never had to tie a tie, so I have no idea. But latest in Mike's big year of learning things, maybe not as interesting, but learned the opening riff to the Blink-182 song Anthem Part 2 on guitar. I'd like to play it for you now. I'm just going to pop the mic down. And you might just hear me. I'm a little bit far away. Going to play the riff. Take a listen to this. If you know the song, feel free to sing along. Here we go. Oops, sorry, that was awful. That was shit. Okay, I'm putting the guitar down. That was horrific. That was so bad. I was like, oh, you know, practice a bit so you get it right. That was terrible. I'm sorry you had to hear it, but those were
five mildly interesting things that have happened since we last spoke.
I like that segment. It's just a little snapshot of what I've been doing. Speaking of what I've been doing, here's something that I didn't talk about in that little snapshot. I saw the Jonas Brothers. Oh my God. So Claire is a massive fan of Jonas Brothers. Like, she loved them growing up. And realized that Jonas Brothers are a big gap for me. Like, I think always knew they existed, but didn't actually know many of their songs, right? But I talked a little bit about this on the Pat and Mike show last week, which I made public, so I'm not going to repeat what we talked about there. Go listen to it. Patreon.com/RadioMike for more Pat and Mike if you liked that episode. But had such a blast at the Jonas Brothers in Melbourne at Rod Laver Arena. Great to be back at Rod Laver after my big screen moment at Blink-182. But I actually really like their music. We watched a bit of Camp Rock and then we watched Camp Rock 2, which has the Jonas Brothers in it. I actually did a video on YouTube about Camp Rock. Go and watch it now. No, finish listening to this, then go and watch it now. And had a really fun night. One thing I actually wanted to talk about first. There's a bunch of stuff on this Jonas Brothers concert at Rod Laver, right? So hear me out. First thing is, we sit down in our seats, and this is more of a sentimental thing because this actually meant a lot to me. Sit down in our seats and then get a tap on the shoulder from the person behind me. I believe your name was Beck. I could be wrong, and I apologize if I am, but I'm 85.9% sure. And Beck goes, "Oh, Podcast Mike, how are you?" I go, "Oh, hey." Now, often when people like recognize me in public, it's generally because they know me from Hamish and Andy, which is fine. But like, I do a lot of stuff outside of that show, which is admittedly not as big as that show. But like, you know, I don't know how to explain it. Like, so that was cool. And then Beck goes, "Oh, I actually recognized you because I recognized Claire." So Claire, my girlfriend, got recognized. She's like, "Yeah, and I was like, "How do you know Claire?" She's like, "Oh, from Instagram, you post photos." And I was like, "Oh yeah." So Claire was like, "Oh shit, like this girl recognized me from your Insta," which was funny. And then she goes, "Love your stuff. You got to keep doing your Thursday podcast," which is this podcast. And then I said, "Oh, do you listen to my podcast?" She's like, "Yeah, I listen every week. It's really good." Maybe she didn't quite say that, but she said, "Yeah, I listen. And I listen to that short thing you put out. And I think you should definitely keep doing your Thursday podcast." And I was like, "Oh," and it was like a huge sign. It was like this weird sign. I was like, "Oh," like it was the day after I put out that thing where I was like, "Oh, I don't know. I'm feeling shit and feeling unmotivated and uncreative." And she was like, "You should definitely keep doing it." And then she was like, "Yeah, and I listened to the travel episodes that you do with Claire, which are the world tour episodes on this feed." And then like that was a moment where I was like, "Oh," like sometimes I'm telling you, like, it is very easy for me to forget sometimes especially when like 99% of the time, if someone's like, oh, Mike, they'll know me from Hamish and Andy or maybe Tofop or something. It's very hard for me sometimes to remember that, like, and sorry, but like that people actually listen to this. Like there are people that listen to this podcast every week. There are a lot of you. I see the numbers. And there are people, and you know, we've launched some new series like the World Tour, like the Movie Club. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if anyone's going to listen to this. And like, you do. Like people do click on that stuff and enjoy it. And maybe to you, the listener, that sounds obvious, but to me, the creator, I guess I'm like, oh, who's going to listen to this? Like, but people going to like it. But then when you have interactions like that with Beck, that meant a lot. I really appreciate, like, it just felt like this weird sign. And me and Claire were talking about it when I left. And like, I openly struggle with a lot of self-doubt and self-criticism and like thinking my stuff shit, which it probably is. But just having that interaction, like, I don't know, just like really helped. It just made me feel really positive about what I was doing. And, you know, if you're someone who listens and you've never like reached out via message or anything, like please feel free to reach. Like, I would love to hear from you, mainly because it boosts my ego, but it does actually mean a lot to me to have interactions like that. So thank you. More importantly though, okay, the Jonas Brothers in general, there's a few odd things that happened. In fact, I'm going to do a new segment, 5 odd things that happened at the Jonas Brothers concert. No, I'm not. I haven't prepared that, but you treat it as such. First thing that happened that I thought was interesting at the Jonas Brothers concert was, admittedly, you know, I was definitely in the minority being a guy there. I feel like the majority of guys there were probably guys going with their partners, which is great. And like, you know, the Jonas Brothers have a real core female audience, of course. Like, that was their demographic, so that's great. Notice when Taylor Swift was here and she was doing at the MCG, there were lots of videos and stuff of the toilet lines at the MCG being super, super busy, because there was like the girls' toilets and the boys' toilets being empty, which of course makes sense. Often the girls' toilets are longer waits, and that's because girls sit down to wee, kind of like me. But I actually think at Rod Laver on the weekend for Jonas Brothers, I have a feeling they changed some of the boys' toilets to girls' toilets, because I went out about halfway through to go do a wee and I had to walk for ages to find any boys' toilets when there were like 7 girls' toilets in a row. So if anyone was there and was a girl and went to the toilet, were some of the boys' toilets changed into girls' toilets? And I was like, did they just like cover the urinals or like what did they do? I have a theory. That's all. Okay. Weirdest part about the Jonas Brothers concert was they had an intermission halfway through. I have never been to a concert where halfway through everything just stops and it's like intermission. And it was like half an hour. It was so weird. I'm used to like maybe a musical or like a theater show having an intermission, but I've never been to a concert with an intermission. And it makes you think. Taylor Swift is performing 3 hours, no break. Jonas Brothers, probably an hour intermission, then do another hour. Take a leaf out of Taylor's book, okay? She's got way more stamina than you guys, clearly. But then another thing, like in terms of Jonas Brothers songs, let's get to the actual content. The show was fantastic, by the way. They put on a great show. And I got to say, like, if I had to choose the Jonas Brother that I like most, I'm pretty sure it's Nick. Okay. Of course, you've got Joe, Kevin, Nick. Kevin, I'm not going to lie, I couldn't figure out what he brings to the group. I'm not going to lie. I know that's mean. Kevin, if you're watching, I still love you, man. But like, I don't think he sang any songs. He just played guitar. And I guess he's just there for the branding of the brothers, but you know, that was weird. Joe, I guess, is like the pseudo frontman, Joe Jonas, but I'm going to be honest with it. I think Joe is a little bit arrogant. I got arrogant vibes from him. Still love you, Joe, if you're listening, but I did feel like he was a little bit arrogant. And I think Nick is my favorite. He seems the most humble and he seems to be contributing the most and holding the group together. So Nick, I really appreciated everything he brought. The main song I knew from Jonas Brothers was Year 3000, which is a cover of the Busted song of the same name, but it's a fantastic song. It's that lyric there that I want to talk about because the Jonas Brothers played it live. It was great. But that song in general, I've been to the Year 3000, not much has changed, but they lived underwater. That's an absurd lyric. Everything about that lyric is absurd because it's like oxymoronic, right? It's like not much has changed, like 1,000 years in the future, not much has changed, but they lived underwater, which I'm really sorry, no offense, but that does sound a lot like literally everything has changed. Because if I woke up tomorrow and we were all living underwater, you could not say not much has changed. How are they breathing underwater? Do they have underwater houses? Maybe it is predicting the effects of global warming, but the good news is in the song, we actually get through it. Right? We actually, clearly, as humans, we don't stop the polar ice caps from melting. We don't stop sea levels from rising. But according to the song Year 3000 by Busted, covered by the Jonas Brothers, we are able to adapt to our new lives under the sea. And I actually think that's a good thing if it comes true. Okay. Also found that, and I've done a bit of sleuthing online, but I realized that a lot of Jonas Brothers songs do sound peculiarly like other existing songs that came out before them. And I've actually always thought this about a few of them. When the song Sucker was like a mainstream hit for Jonas Brothers when they had their comeback, right? They went away for a bit. They came back. They did Sucker. It was when I was working a lot at Fox FM and they were playing it heaps. So I remember this song being really big and I quite enjoy it. Sucker, of course, sounding like this. I'm a sucker for you. Even at the time, I remember thinking, oh man, this song is so clearly trying to capitalize off the success of the Portugal the Man song, Feel It Still. You keep my hands on myself. So much of those two songs were so similar in so many ways. And at the live show, I started realizing this is a Jonas Brothers technique to steal songs because they also played a song which is in Camp Rock 2. It's called Introducing Me. And as soon as I heard it, I was like, declare, this song is such a copy. See if you can hear it. If you want to know, here it goes, gonna tell you this. Light little, you know, I'm not sure if it's a, like it's a acoustic guitar, high on the strings, right? If you want to know, here it goes, gonna tell you this. Now, I'm only playing short snippets so I don't get copyright strikes on YouTube, but Jason Mraz called. He wants his song back. If you want to know, here it goes, gonna tell you this. Hey, Nick Jonas, making it a little bit faster doesn't mean you're copying it. Now, these ones might be reaching, but in a live environment, I really felt it. They started playing the intro to their song. I think it's called Leave Before You Love Me. And I'd like for you to go listen to these songs in full so you can really hear what I'm talking about, because I'm not going to do it justice here. I'll get a copyright strike on YouTube and I don't want that. But like, hear that again. And even the vocal melody, which I won't play here, but it started sounding, I started thinking, this sounds a lot like another song I know. And I was going through my mind, I was like, and I was like, oh yeah, I think this song is actually copying ABBA's song, The Winner Takes It All. Sure enough, you type in on YouTube like blah, 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 like Sucker, Jonas Brothers, Portugal the Man, Feel It Still. And so many people have also noticed the same thing about all of these songs. Finally, this one's definitely a stretch, but I because I'm not familiar with the songs and I know they did a few covers at some of their shows, I heard this. This is the intro to their song Only Human. which is actually a song that I like. I know that song, but I didn't realize it was Jonas Brothers until they played it, right? Not, this is probably more stupid of me because I do think these two songs are similar, but like it's probably stupid of me. When I heard this, I was like, oh, are they doing a cover of Boys Light Up? Which is like an Australiana rock song by Australian Crawl, probably from like the 70s or the 80s. I thought this was it. And another song that, again, I didn't realize it was a Jonas Brothers related song is Cake by the Ocean, which I've heard a million times, but I just never knew what the name of the song was. But it's the one that's like, go to me, baby. I didn't put a grab on the board, so I have to sing it. Keep on open, cake by the ocean. That was epic live. That was actually one of the best live song experiences I've ever had in my life. It was such a cool live song. And like all the choreography around it was epic. It was sick. Finally, though, back in 2008, South Park did an episode about the Jonas Brothers. It was called The Ring, and it was about how the Jonas Brothers and other Disney stars wear purity rings. I think Miley Cyrus used to wear one because they were all Disney Channel stars. And the point that South Park was trying to make in this episode, which I always thought was pretty funny, and I got to say I agree with it, is like, in a weird way for Disney, like, it's okay to market like these boys to girls. Like, obviously the idea is they're like young, attractive boys that girls will have crushes on, and it's okay for them to market it that way as long as they're wearing purity rings. And South Park did a song by the Jonas Brothers, in like a parody song by the Jonas Brothers, and it was called I've Got a Ring on My Finger.
I've got a ring on my finger to remind me what I cannot do.
Really, really funny. Go watch it. Never realized it's actually a parody of an actual Jonas Brothers song called SOS.
Told you I made dinner plans.
I honestly never knew it was like a direct parody. So there you go. But my experience at the Jonas Brothers was very fun. To everyone who, to everyone who was there, thanks for coming. It's not my show, so I don't need to thank you. But yeah. Really fun. A couple more things. I have to talk about this, okay? I have to talk about this because something came to my attention when I was perusing Twitter the other day that completely, like, I almost had to do, like, a double take to see if what I was seeing was from a parody account or similar, okay? Because I'm going to actually find this tweet and just read it out verbatim so you can see how ludicrous it is. Here it is. So it's a picture of Jerry Seinfeld in a suit and Hugh Grant wearing a tiger costume. They're together on a movie set. Like, and if you knew about this, like I did not know about this, which is why I thought it was so absurd. It's from the Twitter page Discussing Film, which is like a film discussion site. Fuck. And it says, first look at Hugh Grant as Tony the Tiger in Jerry Seinfeld's Unfrosted. The film follows a kind of made-up origin story for Pop-Tarts. I'm sorry, excuse me? What? Jerry Seinfeld is doing a Pop-Tarts movie? That is absurd. Like, where did this come from? I know that Jerry Seinfeld talks about Pop-Tarts a lot on Seinfeld. Like, he likes Pop-Tarts. But, like, he's making a movie about Pop-Tarts and it's called Unfrosted. Like, what is this? So then I investigate further because I genuinely at this stage was unsure if this was a legitimate movie or not, okay? I was so confused about it. I was like, am I on a parody account here? I look it up. Sure enough, this is a real film. It's coming out in 2024. In 1963, Michigan, sworn cereal rivals Kellogg's and Post race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. I got to say, I've had Pop-Tarts. They sell them now at Coles. They're really, really good. They're really good. They're bad for you, but they're good for your mouth and your taste buds, okay? Look at the cast of this movie. You won't believe it. Jerry Seinfeld, Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Amy Schumer, Hugh Grant, James Marsden. How did they get all these famous people to be in the Seinfeld Pop-Tart movie? Like, it's coming to Netflix. Like, Jerry Seinfeld, I guess, is so rich and has so much influence and power at Netflix. He's done his specials there that I guess he can just say it. And Netflix goes, hey, what do you want to make? We'll put out whatever you want to make. And he goes, I want to make a movie about the origins of Pop-Tarts starring Hugh Grant as Tony the Tiger, the mascot for Pop-Tarts. Like, I'm sorry. His last foray into movies was a B movie. Like, not his best. One of the most memed movies of all time, though. Like, culturally very relevant. So I guess I can only expect that the Pop-Tarts movie will be similar to B-movie and that it'll be memey as hell. But, boy, oh boy, this honestly took me by massive surprise. I really do not believe, like, I cannot believe this is happening. And I love Jerry Seinfeld. I'll watch anything he does because I think he's really funny. But I just think, as a premise to a movie, I really can't believe this is happening. Okay, I want to do this before we go because I got a great question in, so let's do one of these.
All the write-ins that you sent in.
Hey, send in an all the write-in anytime. Write-ins, it's all the write-ins, like all the people who have written in this week. It's a great parody, like, if you ask me. I mean, I wrote it. Got a great one in from Hayden Potter. Thank you so much. When I actually saw your name, I thought it said Harry Potter, which is weird. And Hayden Potter, I don't think you have ever contributed to the show before, so I appreciate it. This is cool. Hey, Mike, I've been getting really into reliving my past, playing and modifying Game Boys recently. Wonder if you've also been down this rabbit hole. I've been replacing the old washed out displays for new updated IPS screens, don't know what that is, with way more brightness and color, USB-C charging, sound upgrades, and restoring old hardware. There are some really awesome games that I think are going to be forgotten too. It's a shame. Would love to hear your take on it if it's something you're interested in. Regardless, love the pod. Keep it up, mate. Thank you so much. This is really interesting. I love the idea of, like, getting my old Game Boy out and modifying it, but I don't think I'd have any clue, like, where to start with it, like, or how to do it. But this world that you're in, I love it, okay? I have dipped my toes into some really similar things over the years, okay? Not for a while, but the main thing that I used to love doing from when I was very young is using emulators for game consoles. So, you know, there are a lot of video games that I really wanted as a kid, but, like, I never had a Game Boy Advance. I never had, like, a GameCube. So when I was young, I used to download the emulators, which were basically, like, for your computer. You could just play the games on your computer, right? So I used to love doing that. And then I got really into, I had a PSP, which was the PlayStation Portable. Got really into, like, putting the hacked firmware onto it. So you basically, like, the equivalent of what, like, people used to jailbreak their iPod Touch. I never had an iPod Touch. I had a PSP. But basically jailbreaking my PSP so you could put, like, Game Boy Advance games and Super Nintendo games and Nintendo 64 games on your PSP and run it on your PSP. I thought that was awesome because I used to play all these games that I never got to play as a kid. I would just use my PSP and play them all. And I remember last time I went to Japan in 2017, I brought my PSP on the plane and I was just playing, like, old Crash Bandicoot games and stuff like that. I think it's a really fun world. The other thing I've tried to do a few times is I've got a Raspberry Pi. I'm so nerdy. Raspberry Pi is, like, this little computer you can buy and you can sort of do whatever you want with it. I've got a Raspberry Pi, and I installed this thing called Retro Pi, and it's basically, like, you plug it into your TV and it's just a retro games console. I love every now and then just dipping into an old game, like, just some game on one thing I really want to do soon is somehow make some content or stream the all the Harry Potter video games, because I just want to play them. And like, I'll probably end up just emulating them on computer because it's just way easier than having to find them. But yeah, I really like this world. I really like, I've never done any hardware mods of anything, but I love the idea of like, I love the idea of jailbreaking stuff and like almost like putting a middle finger up to like the manufacturer, whether it's Apple or Sony or something, and being like, oh, I'm doing this on your thing and you're not supposed to be able to do that. I really, really love that world. If anyone's done anything cool, send in a photo or something, because I'd love to see it. I'd really like to see that. All right, let's finish up with one of these bad boys.
The plug.
Bunch of stuff to plug before I go this week. Okay, I did another blog, radiomike.substack.com or my website, radiomike.com.au/blog. You can read it there. I would love for you. Every fortnight, I'm doing a blog/article on something mildly pop culture related. If you like listening to me talk about shit, you might like reading me talk about shit. This blog entry was on why I think The Simpsons predicted TikTok culture 30 years ago. So go and give that a read. I think you really like it. I'm actually thinking of all... Actually, I'll pause on that for a sec. I won't say that. Movie Club... I should just edit that out, but I'm like, no, I'll tell you guys later. Movie Club will be out at the end of March. We are doing The Mummy from 1999. Go and watch that so you can participate in this month's movie club. We've already done two that are up. Now You See Me in January and Her for February. That's with the fantastic Pat, who you can hear on the Pat and Mike show on Patreon, patreon.com/radiomike. Go and check that out. That will be coming to this feed soon, and there'll be more Pat and Mike bonus content on Patreon. Can I do a really big appeal for Patreon? If you like the show, if you listen every week, even just $1 a month is super helpful, but you get all the bonus content for $4 or something a month. So please consider signing up if you like this pod. The YouTube is popping. There's a bunch more long form pop culture clips on there, including a clip on Camp Rock, which I plugged earlier, but also a clip on Akira Toriyama, who was the creator of Dragon Ball Z, who died this week. I did a really good, in my opinion, deep dive on his legacy and his legacy around the world in, like, you know, the wider pop culture space. So please give that a watch as well. And finally, on year 3000, a few years ago, I did a podcast with friends of the show, 1001 Podcasts That Make You Want to Die. And it was... And I talked about the song Year 3000 in great detail, and I remember it being really funny. So... Now, I'm saying it now. I hope I follow through with it. I'm going to put all the plug stuff just in the description to the podcast, so you can just find everything I've said right now in the description. Don't go listen to another podcast. Keep watching my stuff. TikTok. Oh, that's the final thing. Okay, sorry, I'm rambling. Final thing. TikTok, I'm experimenting with a new content style on TikTok. This week, all week, I've done what if AFL football teams had Pokemon for their mascots? It's been really fun and I loved doing it. So go give that a watch, a like and a comment and everything you're supposed to do. That's it, guys. Okay. That's it. I've had enough. My name's been Radio Mike. This has been The Inside of My Mind. I'll catch you next week. Saw ya. I don't know what sorry. Can I come back? I don't know why I went saw ya. When I used to live in Kensington in a share house with my friend M, we always just used to go saw ya. And you're not her. So you wouldn't have got that. But now you do. Saw ya! I'm